So I will just start, this is David Corus, I'll start with roll call of the members of the Finance and the HR Committee, and then see if other board members are present. In no particular order, Jeff Beckham.
Here.
John Johnson.
Here.
Parker Wise.
Here.
John Flores.
Here.
Don Frost. Alexandra Daum.
Here.
Greg Scully.
Here.
Brian Thompson.
Here.
Grant Westerson.
Here.
Judy Scheifel.
Here.
Dave Perillo.
Here.
Okay, and then other board members, I know we have Tom Patton.
Here.
Any other board members present? Okay, we have a quorum of both the Finance and the HR committees, and so with that, I'll move on to the next item on the agenda, which is public comment. Andrew, please open the line and see if there's any members of the public who wish to speak at this time.
Sure. The line is open. Are there any members of the public who wish to speak? Hearing none.
Okay. Thank you, Andrew. Hearing none, we'll move on to the next item on the agenda, which is the executive session, which is an executive session for both committees discussing employee compensation and the employment of a finance director for the authority. And for that, we will invite John Henshaw and Andrew Levine from staff. And I have a resolution resolved that pursuant to section 1-200 subsection 6A of the General Statutes of Connecticut, by a two-thirds vote of the members of the board present and voting, the committees, the Finance and HR committees of the Board of Directors hereby approve to enter into executive session for the purposes of discussing qualifications of candidates for employment as finance director to the Connecticut Port Authority and employee compensation. Executive Director Henshaw, can you please certify?
I do.
Okay, John certifies that it's the public interest in the disclosure of the discussion qualifications of candidates as finance director and employee compensation is outweighed by the public interest in the confidentiality of same. Is there a motion to go into executive session?
So moved, Randall.
Moved by Johnson, is there a second?
Second by Grant.
Second by Alexandra. All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. Jim and Joe
David,
will...
David, it's John Floor. Sorry for interrupting.
Oh, no problem.
Do we have... I didn't, for some reason, unless it was sent by a different email, I don't have an agenda for today's meeting, and I don't know if there was other material that were about the candidates, because I got some documents, finance director, joint meeting, executive session, performance evaluation, schedules, positions, and I got the joint meeting agenda, but that was for September 21st. Is there one for today, if Andrew can maybe just email that to me so I can keep track? For some reason, I didn't get it.
Nor did I, John. I didn't get the agenda for this meeting either. I did for the meeting at 12, but...
for the board, but not for this one.
All right, my apologies. There seems to have been a distribution problem for the committee information today. I did note it at the beginning, but I thought it was limited to members of the HR committee, and so my apologies. Andrew, are you able to circulate that information while we're on the phone here?
Yep, I'm pulling that right now. And Jeff or Parker, Tom, did you receive the materials? Because I see you all in the same distro, so I'm just making sure it... Did it come through to anyone?
This is Jeff. I did get the materials. I'm looking at them now.
Okay, great.
Tom Patton got the materials.
I didn't get the resolutions.
Okay, coming through to...
Okay, Andrew will recirculate it to everyone. I think we have voted, so we'll move into executive session, and you'll all receive that while we're talking. Andrew, is the public line back open?
Yes, public line is open, and I have the recording on now.
You might be muted, Andrew.
You're right. The recording is on, and the lines are merged.
Great. Okay, we're now going to go through the Finance Committee agenda, and then we'll move on to the HR Committee agenda. So first, I'll entertain item 4A on the agenda, approval of the Finance Committee minutes from September 21st. Is there a motion to approve?
I'll move that, David.
Okay, move by John. Is there a second?
Second. Correct.
Second by Greg. All those in favor, please indicate by saying
aye. Mr. Chairman?
Yep.
This is Jeff. I think I should interject at this juncture. This seems like an appropriate place to make some comments. I think these are joint minutes of multiple committees.
These are joint minutes. Thank you. Yes. These are joint minutes of finance and audit and compliance. So
it's at this point that I think I'll make my comment, Mr. Chairman, if you don't mind.
Yeah, please.
So under the minutes for the Audit, Compliance, and Governance Committee, it's item 4F in this document. I don't have a correction for the minutes, but there is a notation that we had a discussion at this meeting involving the Contracting Standards Board and a request they made for documents. On this occasion, I was recorded as having, not in the minutes, but in the press, as having made comments regarding the existence of the Contracting Standards Board. I want to say to the members present that my comments were inappropriate. I should not have made the comments. They did not reflect the position of the Lamont administration or the Secretary of the Office of Policy and Management. And I withdraw and retract those comments.
Thank you, Jeff. And just for the benefit of the board, I will just add and say on that topic, we have been very forthcoming with information to that board, as we discussed at that meeting, and they have a lot of material that we welcome their feedback on. So regarding the minutes, so I should have said this at the outset, so this is a little tricky. So these are minutes from a joint meeting of Finance and Audit Compliance. We have here on the call today members of Finance and HR. So I'm going to read out the members who are present who are able to vote on these minutes. And it is myself, Jeff, John Johnson, John Flores, Parker Wise, Tom Patton, and those are the board members present who should motion, second, vote on these minutes. And sorry for not making that clarification earlier. So I will start again with a motion to approve those minutes.
Yeah, I'll make that motion again, John.
Move by John, second.
Jeff will second.
Second by Jeff. Any, all those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any abstentions? Great. Okay.
Tom Patton abstains.
Great. Thanks, Tom. Moving on to financial update 4B. Jim, take it away.
All righty. Thank you. This is Jim. I'm reading the financial statements for general operations for the month ended September 2021. Total revenue is $1,552,000, consisting primarily of $200,000, which is half of our DOT annual allotment of $400,000. We received $1,250,000 from NEO per the agreement. Year-to-date, we've received $78,000, as part of the impact fee agreement, and $24,000 from pilot commissions, once again totaling $1.5 million. Total revenue, operating expenses in the salaries and related expense group, we have $110,950, primarily consisting of salaries of $59,000, payroll taxes of $4,000, and fringe benefits of $47,000, totaling again $110,000. Under contractual services, total contractual services are $41,520, consisting primarily of $15,000 as a deposit on our audit. We expect that to be concluding in the next month or so. We have a credit, which is unusual, for $23,000. That relates to basically my services were paid in advance, and they shouldn't have been. So what happened is the Robert Half subsidiary refunded the invoice amount and sent it back to us in this fiscal year, even though it was really for the prior year. It doesn't create a problem because it should have been accrued in the prior year anyway. So it's an anomaly, but it's not important. We also have $12,000 in legal services, general operations, and $32,000 in legal services permitting, once again totaling $41,520 in contractual services. We have no marketing and business development expenses. Under administrative services, we have a total of $48,575, consisting primarily of $10,500 for a membership, $4,000 for rent, $19,000 for water, sewer, and fire in New London. We don't expect to get significantly more charges until the construction is done. That remains to be seen, but that's our expectation for now. The liability insurance to date this fiscal year is $6,707, once again totaling $48,000 for general expenses. We have no other expenses, so the total expenses year-to-date are $201,000 relative against $1,552,000. We have a year-to-date surplus of $1,351,000, and that is primarily the result of that $1,250,000 received from NEO. Does anybody have any questions?
I got a couple.
Okay.
The payroll on the payroll is reported through August. Is there any reason why we didn't do it through September? Include September?
This is through September. Did I say August by mistake? This is September.
No, it says on the notes, payroll paid through August 21.
Oh, you know what? That's just wrong. It should be September.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for pointing that out. I'm assuming that's John Johnson.
Yeah, that's right. And I guess one other question down at the bottom for other expenses. We've gotten the revenue for the city of $78.30. Has that been actually paid to the city yet?
No, they have not yet issued a bill. We do intermittently remind them that they need to do that so that we can pay them, but that's not yet been paid.
Okay, and I guess the same thing applies with the revenue share expense?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
Jim, this is Dave Carrillo. The money you mentioned earlier, it was the $20,000-some-odd figure received from the pilot commission. Was that, were those funds from the 6% surcharge that's on
yes.
their work? Because we also, the pilot commission also received finally a refund in the 20-something thousand dollar range from the pilots that is actually money for future reimbursements to the pilots for equipment and training, and that wouldn't be revenue. That would just theoretically be escrow money.
Exactly. So exactly. That's not this amount. That has been just received a few days ago during October,
yep.
and it's not reflected here. That would be, as you say, an escrow value.
Yeah. Okay, thank you, Jeff.
My pleasure. Any other questions?
Yeah, John, hi, it's Tom Patton. So this going back to that payroll issue, so if it's not through August, but really is actually representing salaries through the end of September, that means we're substantially under budget on our salaries, right? Okay. You'd expect that to be 20 or 25% year to date.
That's partly because there's the
open position.
The finance director costs are not reflected here under salaries. In as much as I'm providing those services on an interim basis, my cost goes under contractual services.
Got
so
you. Okay.
That's why we're under budget in salaries.
Gotcha. Okay. Thank you.
Sure. Any other questions? All righty. Thank you all.
Great. Thank you, Jim. Next item on the Finance Committee meeting is an OPM update. Jeff?
So I'll go ahead and preview. I think we're going to do this at the regular board meeting at noon as well. We recently completed the analysis of the historic maritime bonding authorizations that have happened over the last decade or so. As most members of the committees will remember, Port Authority's been in existence for about 6 years, a little over 6 years. Prior to that, it was the Maritime Bureau within DOT. When it was initially handed off to the authority, an independent quasi-public, the business affairs and the financial arrangements were handled through the DECD business office. So there was a handoff from DOT to DECD, and then there was ultimately a handoff from DECD to the Port Authority and its staff sometime in the 2018 timeframe. As everyone knows, there was considerable turnover in staff and leadership of the authority. We've recently, in the last year or so, emerged into calmer waters, I guess, to use the maritime analogy, which is a good thing. But there was quite a bit of history with regard to authorizations out there, bond authorizations that had been authorized but unallocated, or that had been allocated but unallotted, and in some cases allotted but unexpended. The latter category is a large amount of money, but most of that is the current peer project. So that's all fine. There are in the small, you know, $12 million range of funds that were identified as still out there in some unexpended form. So this report was compiled by a consultant that we engaged. He happens to have been a former finance official at DOT, now retired. He's produced a 24-page report that the staff is in possession of and will soon make available to the board for your, to the committees and to the board members for your consideration. There are some recommendations at the end of it. There are some findings throughout that will have to be dealt with by the administration, but I'm commending this this work to the committees and to the board, and John can make this available to you. I'll just summarize. There's three basic recommendations. Going forward, there's a recommendation concerning documentation of the project's creation and in terms of reporting on projects. And there is some recommendation regarding how the funding flows through CORE and through the bank accounts that the authority has established. So it's a somewhat technical accounting document. There's numerous spreadsheets that accompany it and backup material. But this project is completed and hopefully will wind up that aspect of the authority's history.
Thanks, Jeff. Anyone have any questions on that for Jeff?
Yeah, so this is Tom.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Tom.
No. Yeah, so I think what I heard was that if we were presented a balance sheet today, there'd be $12 million in cash or unspended assets. Is that right?
Roughly. That's about right. The analogy that our consultant used is it's like the paint cans that you have in your garage from various painting projects around your house. You don't necessarily use up all the paint, but you've got all these cans sitting around with a little bit of paint left in them. That's what these accounts and authorized pots represent. It's It's on that scale, about $12 million.
And
if you looked at our balance sheet today, what would it say? I mean, our cash balance or accrued liabilities.
Yeah, this doesn't appear in our current budgeting and current balance sheets. This was an analysis of, you know, the state authorizes bonds. They're then allocated to projects by the bond commission. And then when they are ready for allotment for projects, agencies come to OPM and ask for allotments. It's an accounting, really, of the state's bond funds.
And relative, and Tom, if your question is sort of relative to our other pots of money, right, this is very general, but, you know, we've got about $250 million, right? We've got about $235 million, you know, for the state pier project, some of which has been spent, which is a combination of our funds and our partners' funds, which are in the escrow accounts that we manage. We have outstanding authorizations of about $20 million, $25 million for the dredge in New Haven, and then we have balances in the few million range for small harbor projects with an upcoming authorization of $5 million each fiscal year for the next few fiscal years. So that's kind of the world that we've been kind of working in, and then this is on top of that.
Gotcha. Thank you.
These are historic authorizations that predate the authorizations that David just described. We do have ongoing current authorizations that this report doesn't address.
Correct.
So how far back does this go? 10 years, you think?
10 years. I think to the 2011 time frame.
Okay. And when do you think that we'll be able to see this as a board? This next month?
Yes. The staff has it now, and they'll make it available after the meetings today.
Oh, good. Okay. Thanks.
Great. Any other questions? All right. Thank you, Jeff, and thanks to OPM for bringing on the consultant to get to the bottom of this. Any old Finance Committee business? Any new Finance Committee business? Okay, we'll transition then to the agenda of the HR Committee. The first item on the agenda, 5A, is consideration and approval of recommendation for the board to adopt the schedule of positions for fiscal year ending June 30th, 2022. We discussed this at our last meeting. I will see if there's any, I mean, I don't know if John or Andrew, there's anything you want to say about it to reintroduce the conversation. The main change, I think I'll note, and John and Andrew, correct me if this is wrong, but the main, if not the exclusive change here, is the change in salary range related to the finance director position. Everything else is consistent with what was approved by the board late last fiscal year.
That's correct.
Is that correct, John and Andrew?
Yes.
I believe that's correct. Andrew?
Yes, correct.
Okay. So I guess what I'll do, I'll read a resolution, or I'll make a resolution on this, and then we can entertain a motion and second, and then any discussion folks want to have. This resolution will be to advance the schedule of positions to the board for its approval with the change in salary range related to the finance director. Is there a motion to convey this to the board?
Yeah, it's Grant. I'll make that motion.
Okay, move by Grant. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Move by John. Any discussion or questions or comments folks want to make?
So, David, we're voting on the entire schedule of positions, or we're voting to amend the finance director's salary cap?
You know, frankly, I think you could view it either way. This schedule of positions that we had before us last meeting and this meeting is entirely consistent with what has been already approved by the board, but for that change. So I'm certainly happy, you know, taking it as an amendment exclusively related to the finance director's salary, if that's how you'd all like to frame it. That's functionally what's happening.
And David, this is John Flores. I'm not on the Human Resources Committee, so I shouldn't be voting, right, even though it impacts the finance director salary range, or do you want us from that committee to opine also?
Yeah, so this is my understanding, and folks, feel free to kind of, you know, comment if you feel as though I've got this wrong, but we have a quorum of the HR committee present, and so with that, other members of the board are able to vote. They just wouldn't be able to contribute to that quorum. I think I have my Robert's rules correct in that sense, but please, someone weigh in if they feel differently.
This is John Flores. I'm not so sure. I think only members of the committee can vote on committee recommendations, and we would then just vote at the board meeting when it's presented. But that's my two cents. I haven't looked at Robert's rules in a while.
Yeah, me, and I don't have mine right in front of me, unfortunately.
You didn't let
board members that were not on the finance committee vote.
No, that was only on the minutes. I didn't think it was appropriate related to the minutes, since it had to do with, you know, actions taken at that committee. I don't know. Maybe I might be wrong about that differentiation.
I'm sorry, I think I could add just my two cents, though I won't vote. I do think it makes sense from the Finance Committee, as a member of the Finance Committee, that we need to increase the range in order to get an acceptable candidate.
We have a quorum of the HR Committee, so I'm very happy limiting that to members of the HR Committee. And just to remind folks that are on here, those of you that are on, that are members of the Finance Committee, are myself, Alexandra, Brian, Greg, Judy, Dave, and Grant.
And Parker. What?
And John.
No, you guys are not members of the HR Committee.
Oh, no. I thought you said Finance.
So I think just to be safe, since none of us have Robert's Rules in front of us, we will limit the vote on this and the next item to members of the HR committee, though members of the board can certainly comment during discussion.
That's safe. That's better.
Okay. Any other comments or questions? Okay. So I will frame this as, this is our vote on a motion to advance the amended schedule of positions to the board with a recommendation to approve with the change of the finance director's salary range. All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, the final item on our agenda.
David, it's Andrew. Sorry to interrupt. Who was the second on that? I had Grant for the motion. Who was the second?
I think John did it. I think I did, but I don't know whether that's appropriate or not.
Okay, all right. Why don't we...
We're going to have Greg second. That's fine.
Okay, Greg, thank you. Greg second. Thank you. And thanks, Andrew, for raising that. Okay, the final item on the HR committee agenda is consideration and approval of recommendation for the board to adopt the employee performance management and evaluation policies and procedures. So you'll recall we discussed last time these review forms. I think the main point of conversation, just to remind folks, last time there weren't any real substantive comments on kind of the process or the CPA form itself, but there was a recommendation that we need not duplicate it by including the state of Connecticut form as well, since most of the gist of that was embodied and expanded upon in the CPA evaluation form. And so the only difference between what you had before you at your last meeting and what we have before us today is the exclusion of the Connecticut state employee review form as an additional document. I will entertain a motion and a second, and again, this is to advance this to the board with a recommendation of approval, and then we can have any discussion or answer any questions that folks have. So is there a motion to advance the employee performance management and evaluation policies and procedures to the board with a recommendation for approval?
I'll make that motion, Greg.
Moved by Greg. Is there a second from the HR committee?
And Grant, I second that.
Thank you, Grant. Any comments or questions or discussion? Okay, upon approval, this will allow John to get started reviewing staff, and it'll allow the HR committee to advance the review of John. All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. With that, I will entertain a motion to adjourn the committees.
So move.
But John's our second.
Second.
Second by John Flores and many. Thank you all for your time, and we will see you in an hour at the full board meeting.
Yep. Thanks.